God, who knows how to discipline us better than anybody, who disciplined them and stricken them, but it still didn't grieve them. They just kept what? Headlong with a stiff neck and said, we're going to keep doing what we want to do. And there's sometimes there's nothing you can do about it, right? But you don't want to be in a position, moms and dads, where we mislead them down the wrong road, where we take them in a spirit of rebellion. So we want to teach them how to drink from God's cup. Amen. Amen. Whatever he puts before us, we want to drink it and say, thank you, Lord, for what you're serving us. Because we want to walk with you. But if we're misleading them down the wrong road, that's only going to cause us trouble as well. But even if you lead them rightly, they can still go in ways you never wanted them to go.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Great word and song. Amen. Amen. All right, little ones, y'all come on up. It's that time. It's that time, huh? Come on over here. Let me be. All right, all right. Boy. Fun.
You might need to come sing, please.
Give me some coffee.
Yeah. Woo, y'all are a good-looking bunch. Yes, y'all are. Let's pray, okay? Let's say a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Thank you for all these little arrows. We just pray you continue to help us be those shapers that will guide them to fly exactly the way you have chosen them to fly. And we're going to praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Like Brother Shannon said, we prayed for that, huh? We prayed for that. Yes. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. To him be the glory. Yes. Praise God for giving us confidence. Amen. Amen. We sure need it. You know, I carry in my pocket. Let me see if I have one in here. I carry these, Christopher, I don't know if you ever heard me share that before, but I carry these little smooth stones in my pocket. And the reason I carry them around is to give them away. Just like this morning, he gave a nugget away to us. He gave us a little smooth stone to put in our sling, like David when he went to the brook and he found those five smooth stones in the brook. Why was he looking for smooth stones to begin with? Y'all help me. Why would that be? Well, a smooth stone would fly straighter than a jagged, old, rough-edged stone in itself. It would fly straight. But how did that stone get smooth? Over time, the waters would rush over those stones and smooth them out. That's why he went to the brook for that. Well, how do we have smooth stones in our life that we can pass on these nuggets to others? Is that God brings us through situations and circumstances and trials and troubles over time. And God's wisdom has what refined us and got some of the rough edges off of us. And we picked up a nugget along the way. And then we want to pass that on with us this morning about the confidence that he had in his dad who helped him and was reliable and trustworthy and a blessing to him. And Brother Shannon would be in here today and say he didn't always do it right and messed it up at different times. But God has been merciful, huh? He had been merciful. And he uses us. These little arrows we have back here, God gives us a great responsibility to shape them, and we all are in this together. We all play a part together. Yes, mom and dad would be the primary means by which God uses to shape them, but each of us contribute into mom and dad's life and into these little ones' lives to help shape them. So he passed on a nugget for us today, a smooth stone to remember and to put in our sling, because you're going to have to face a giant, right? Everybody faces giants in life, and everybody gets put in the den with the lions from time to time. And every once in a while, you may have to journey with those who, like Moses, had to journey through the wilderness with those that were constant problem in his life, but where was his hope at? Where was his confidence at? It's in the Lord. So we can take some of those nuggets, and I want to give you one today out of Psalm 89. So won't you turn to Psalm 89? We're up to 105 in our reading, but I wanted to just draw out of something in the Psalms. If you got a phone, you can look at the Bible on your phone. Maybe most phones have a Bible app on there. And if you don't, in the pew beside you, there'll be a Bible like this you could use today. I just know it would help you keep up with me because we may go from place to place. We normally do that. I think it's advantageous for us to look at it, Hunter, in our Bible, because I'm like that. Most of us, if you want to remember something, you need to see it, you need to hear it, you need to talk about it, you need to give it away and go share it with somebody. So today, that's what I'm going to do. I write a lot in my Bible. I've been using my new one. I keep my other one close by, Miss Patty. I've got the other sword right here if I need to go to it. Even though this Bible is the exact same Bible as that one, it still looks different to me because that one, I've got to be really careful when I read it because it's so full of notes in it. Sometimes I've had to write over a verse number or something like that, and I may, but I know what it looks like when I look at my Bible. So I keep it close to me. So here's some nuggets for us, some smooth stones that can be a help to us. Psalm 89, if you look at the heading of it, it was written by a fellow by the name of Ethan. He is one of the psalm writers. He doesn't have much that he has written, but obviously he wrote something that was noteworthy and spirit-led, and he shares some really, I'm talking about some of the best instructional teaching truths that you will ever read in verses 1 through 37. In 1 through 37, we can just pick these things apart, draw on them. He's drawing on a historical work of God. He's given some insight, Keith, on some things that even the settings over in Samuel, in 2 Samuel, some of the light that we have on it may not shed light on it. He's given us some keen stuff to grab a hold of, Pam, and run with as we look at these things. And verse 38, there's a shift. There's a shift that takes place. And in that shift, we want to just consider a couple things that he's going to draw out of that would be a help for us today. Now, but I want to just kind of peruse the first 37 verses for us, what they are. They are, as we begin, verse number one, I will sing of what? The mercies of the Lord. How long does God's mercies last? They are what? Forever and ever. You know what that tells us? His mercies, because God, his name is mercy. That's something you don't want to miss, is that God himself has a bunch of names. But one of those names is mercy. And because mercy, the Hebrew word is hesed. That's how you would pronounce it, hesed. It looks like kesed, but we would say hesed in how we would pronounce it in English. It's a covenant word or a covenant name of God. It speaks of God's unfailing loyalty and love toward us. That God's mercies is how we can know him. It's how he makes himself known to us through his mercies. And because he is from everlasting to everlasting, that is, God has no beginning and he has no end. His mercy has no beginning and no end. It's everlasting. Amen. It's forever. So his mercies are available when? They're available right now. When something is everlasting, it's always in the constant. It's always in the present. So his mercies are available today, right now. They're new for us. They're new what? Every morning. Every morning. Great, I think on our bulletin, what does it say in the front? Great is thy what? Faithfulness. Listen to what he says in Lamentations 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they, his mercies and his compassions, which are tied uniquely together, his compassions or God's useful goodness toward us that is a benefit for us and glory to His name. And we want His compassions on our life, which is useful goodness that blesses us to be a blessing to other people. It says, great is thy faithfulness. They are what? Constant every day the sun rises, every new day with the Lord, His mercies are fresh. Why is that important for you and me? It's important for you and me because I don't always get it right. I may have not got yesterday right. How many of y'all done maybe a few things, had a few thoughts, or maybe you said something that you regret that you said yesterday? Anybody do that?
Amen.
Maybe one of the kids or maybe one of the grandkids did something and you lost your cool. You ever lose your temper?
Amen.
You ever lose your temper with your spouse or with a friend or with a kid? Maybe. Them kids will get to you every once in a while. Especially when somebody's in Missouri and Kentucky, right? And you got them all by yourself. Will they get to you? Well, I love my grandkids. I lay my life down for them, but sometimes they'll get to me. And it's been a while. It's been a while, Rusty. You schooled in this right now. It's been a long time, Jimmy, since we've had these little ones in the house with us for a month time frame. Are you with me? Now, we had the other crew the same way at different times. Don't get me wrong. But we got two separate groups of grandkids. We got an older group and a younger group. So every once in a while, it can be taxing on me because I'm trying to do what I need to do to love them and then love on y'all and have something to feed y'all. But if I don't hear Paw 10,000 times every day, I don't hear it one time.
Gotcha.
It's nonstop.
Yeah.
Leland, he's been with us too. Leland, he can function independent. He don't necessarily have to have the other two with him. He doesn't necessarily have to have me watching him or Stephanie watching him. He can play on his own if he is interested in something. For an example, we had him out swimming. Water was cold now. That water was cold the other day. Them other two got in it and they just played. But Leland, he got in that cold water. He said, Papa, I want out. So I pulled him out and he played and played and played. He didn't want anything to do with the water. And he could play like that and it's fine. But then if they're doing something and he wants to entertain me, we got a little kitchen over there and he's a cooking and everything he cooks, he's got to bring for me to taste. I'm over there trying to prepare like this morning to get ready for the day. And it's every 30 seconds he's coming up with something he wants me to taste. And I can't deny him. Are you with me? I can't tell him, Leland, I can't do it. I want to love on him like I'm going to love on you or any of them. So I just say, Lord, help me. Amen. Help me, Lord. Help me. But there, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Every day, I need God's fresh mercies in my life. I need His fresh mercies. I need His loving loyalty, His faithfulness to do what I can't do for myself. To pick me up and guide me and lead me on. And that's where he says here, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. With my mouth. You see, because his mercies are intimately connected to his faithfulness. They're speaking of his loyalty, his loyal love. And you can't talk about God's mercies without talking about his faithfulness. That's why even in Lamentations, I just read it in chapter 3, that when you talk about his mercies and his compassions, what do you see? Great is thy faithfulness. We got a song that we are entitled, what? Great is thy faithfulness. It comes right out of those passages in Lamentations. He says it again, verse number 2. For I have said, mercy shall be built up. It shall be constantly built up. This love, this life, this light forever. And your faithfulness shall establish where? In the very heavens. You shall establish your faithfulness in the heavens. So now what he's going to do in the whole psalm, he's going to remind us that God in his mercies has done something. For an example, verse 3. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant who? David. What did he swear to David? That David's seed he will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. God had promised that. God had promised David that David would have a king upon the throne all the days of his life. So in the seed line of David, we know that Jesus is in that line. Ultimately, this is what this is talking about. It's talking about Jesus. And see, we need to know what the truth says about the truth. Because if we miss the truth of the truth, we'll miss the whole meaning of it. We'll get confused about it. So the truth of the truth is getting us to Jesus. That's what we want to get to in this, about Jesus. Because there's going to come a gap in there in the life of Judah, which David is in that line, that Judah is going to get so far out of line with the Lord, God has to show them or deal with them in his chastening and love. And he does. He promised he would do it. He tells us he's going to do it. That when God loves someone, when someone belongs to the Lord, God whoops us just like we would discipline our own children. If you don't love your children, you won't discipline them. But even in disciplining our children doesn't mean that our children are always going to do what we want them to do or even what they ought to do. Sometimes we may want them to do something that God is not in for them to do. That we've got to recognize that. God may have something set aside for one of our arrows that we had no foresight of what that would be. For an example, like my mom and dad. I know they loved on me and my brothers, but I guarantee you, in this place today, while they were shaping us as kids, they would have never anticipated 40-something years ago, 50-something years ago, that I would be in Kemper County in Briggs Chapel, at Briggs Chapel Church, sharing the Word of God today. That was not in their radar. I know it wasn't. God wasn't in their radar. They had other plans, I know, for me. And they groomed and shaped me for those other plans, but God had redirected my life into what he had me set apart for. Same way with your kids, your arrows. But even if you are the most loving, compassionate, disciplinarian, you use the rod of correction, that is, you use instruction, sometimes you use a way of punishment that's going to guide them in the right direction, they don't always follow it. It doesn't always have an effect on them for long term. Neither did it with God's. And ain't nobody chasing his kids better than God chasing them. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what we're going to draw out of this in a moment. This is something that we have to recognize, that even with God doing what he does, sometimes people still don't get what God is doing.
Amen.
They didn't get it. And it cost them. The psalmist, Ethan, is drawing out all these great commitments and promises that are unwavering with God. That's these first 37 verses are all about. All he's doing is saying what God said he would do. And God did exactly what he would do. Now, even in his pleas, his answers to why God was doing what he was doing in the current is even in the message.
Amen.
For an example, let's just look over in 89. Notice in verse number 30. Let's just jump to that point. Yeah, 89:30. In reference to David, God had already said that he would fight against David's enemies for him, that he wouldn't let the enemy outwit him. He would do all these things for him. Verse 30 says this, if David's sons forsake my principal way. Remember how we refer to the law. It's God's principal way of doing business. God's love was centered in his law. You don't want to miss that, because what does the law, the one word that defines the law is the word what? Love. Love. What does that mean? They having fun back there. Y'all hear that? What does the word love mean? Excuse me, the word law in the sense of love. Love the Lord your God with, and then love your neighbor as your what? Okay, we couldn't do that the way God required it. So somebody else came and lived the life that we couldn't live, that qualified him to die a death that we couldn't die, so that when we trust him, the life that he lived now becomes our life. So he fulfills the law on our behalf. And when we trust God, his laws are being fulfilled, that we can love Jesus the way Jesus loved us by laying his life down for us. But he says, if your sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, notice what God said he would do. If they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, what will God promise to do in verse 32? Then I will what?
Visit.
I will visit. The word visit has the idea I will chasten. His chastening love, not his chastening wrath. God does pour wrath out, but when he pours wrath out, it's not with his chastening love. Chastening love and wrath are two separate things. If God loves you, he's going to discipline you. But it's going to be in chastening love. He said, I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquities with stripes. That don't sound good, does it? That sounds difficult, Miss Barbara. I mean, imagine stripes and a rod on you isn't a pleasant thing. How many, when y'all remember when y'all was little, y'all got whoopings? Y'all remember? Who in here didn't ever get a whooping? Raise your hand. I want to meet you. I want to talk to you about it. Boo. Did you get whoopings? If you got Stephanie here today, she'd tell you her daddy never whooped her. I said, girl, that's what it is. You should have got a whooping. Amen. Everybody needs a good whooping every once in a while. I used to tell my girls that when they were, I said, y'all do. I can tell y'all do. It's getting close. Y'all do. Being whooped was never a pleasant thing. Christopher, you ever have to whip your girls? Every once in a while. Do you do it in love? You don't do it to hurt them. You do it for their good, for their benefit. Nobody likes that. Hebrews tells us that chastening, being disciplined by a father, is not a pleasant thing. It's not pleasant. But fathers, a good father, a good mother, will do it for our benefit. Kate, you was asking me if I had a belt this morning, didn't you? Was that for him to put on a belt, or was for that mice?
He needed it.
Every once in a while, right, mice? He mice and recognize it every once in a while. It's a good thing. I'm glad mice is in here with us this morning. Amen. Y'all all say, good morning, mice.
Good morning, mice.
Good to see you, mice. Good to see you. But he said they did their best disciplining us, but it wasn't pleasant. Nobody likes it. It's not something you value. I didn't value when my daddy used to whoop me. But I'm grateful that he did today, because, I mean, who knows where I'd be today if he had not disciplined me, right? Sometimes I think about it, I wish it would have been more. Though it was tough when it was tough, it was hard, but I still didn't appreciate it. But God says, don't ever forget this. He chastens and scourges every son whom he receives and those that he loves.
Amen.
And this is what he's saying here. That because I love you, this is what I'm going to do. Verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him. And all God's people said,
amen.
Man, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I've sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky, like the sun. Now, verse 38, the psalmist is going to say, but you have cast us off and abhorred. You have been furious with your anointed. You have renounced the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. You have broken down all his hedges. You have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by the way plunder him. Talking about Judah, the nation, David's kingdom. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Verse 42, you have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You, meaning God, have made all his enemies rejoice. You, God, have turned back the edge of his sword and have not sustained him in battle. You, God, have made his glory to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You, God, have made the days of his youth. You have shortened. You have covered him with shame. Selah. Verse 46, how long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? Can you see what the psalmist is doing? He's questioning the actual faithfulness and the reliability of a God who made a promise.
Amen.
Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? That rust knows how to escape, brother. It's in his DNA, Rusty. I'm afraid so. It's in his DNA. Look. But what the psalmist in verse 38 lays all these great things God has committed to, but why is he now drawing accusation and questioning the faithfulness and the reliability of a God who promised what he would do? Why is he doing this? What? How can we find ourselves doing this? What he is doing, Lucas, is he's allowing the current circumstances that the nation is in, he is allowing it to interpret God's faithfulness, rather than God's faithfulness to interpret the circumstances that they're in.
Amen.
You see, the light of the Word of God is never interpreted by the circumstances that you face. God's light shines light on the things that we face so that we could understand them more clearly. But the circumstances of life, the troubles of life, the testing of life, they never give us the interpretation of what God's Word says. And that's all he's doing. He's made a shift. Now, God had already said, and he said it in his prayer, you said you would chasten them. And that's exactly what God's doing. But he's allowing the times that he's in to then determine on how he's looking at God's Word, at God's faithfulness, of what God promised he would do or wouldn't do. He's allowing the times that he's in to determine if God is worth trusting. And that's a dangerous place to be. It'll lead you down a dangerous road. Why? Because you then begin to question why God created us. He even says it, why'd you create men for futility? God didn't create men for futility, amen? There's other places God said he created us for his glory.
Amen.
That God created us for his praise. God created us to display his glory through our life. What the psalmist has not done in this, now this is the blessing of the Word of God, is because it's helping us see a man go through something in a situation that he's in, and it's allowing us to hear his heart that he's struggling where he's at. He recognizes that God has done this, that God has worked this, and that God has taken his hand off of them, though he interpreted God would never do that. And now they in a bad situation, and he's putting all the blame on God, but he's not questioning their accountability or faithfulness in this. And he's blaming God for all the misery that the nation is experiencing right now. And God's allowing him to do this and pinning it by the scriptures. Why? Because we live in a world right now that questions the reliability of God. We live among people who says, well, if there is a God out there, why does he allow all this trouble to happen?
Amen.
Why is there sicknesses? Why does your pastor have leukemia? Why does a little boy, a little girl get an acute dynamic of leukemia and have to go through radiation and go through chemo and all that? Why is all that? If God really loved us, he would never allow that kind of stuff to happen, right? You see, that's why these psalms are written from that perspective, to allow us to see how you can know things about God but still miss the things that you know about him and then misinterpret them and let the situations dictate how you view who he is. Let me share with you some other places that God has spoken about these very things that for whatever reason, this psalmist missed it. Now, the time frame of all this is obvious to us, that this has happened after the fall of Judah. When Nebuchadnezzar came in and removed the people of Judah, and there was no longer a body of people that were there in Judah anymore. There was no king on the throne. Everybody had been moved out. And the psalmist is looking back and saying, God, you promised there would always be a people here. You promised there would always be a king here. You promised you would never remove your faithfulness from us here. Why are we subject to these Babylonians? Why are we subject to these people? You made a promise this would never happen. You see, but he's misinterpreting the promise that God made.
Amen.
For God says that he would use people to chasten his people when his people continue in a perpetual backsliding. God had already said he would do. Matter of fact, go to Jeremiah. Let's just look at it for a minute before we depart out of here today. I'm going to give you a couple places in Jeremiah for you to jot down, because we're going to come back tonight and keep looking at these thoughts. But Jeremiah, go to Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah 2. Yeah. Jeremiah 2. Notice what God says in Jeremiah 2. I'm going to read verse number 2:13. This is something that the people had done. And they had done this for a long time.
Amen.
For a long time. He says, verse number 13, Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils, two things that have no eternal value to them. What is it? Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And all God's people said,
amen.
And they have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. That is, they've forsaken God and they're drinking from another source of life. That ain't going to do nothing but what? Set you up for trouble. Now, when you keep going down that road, it's not going to be good. Look what verse number 19 says. This is why Israel was in the condition they were in. This is why the psalmist was struggling, why these things happened. But verse 19 says, your own wickedness will do what? Your own wickedness will do what? Correct you, and your backslidings will do what? Reprove or rebuke you. That is saying you're going to reap what you sow. Now, does God love us?
Yes.
Does God chasten us?
Yes.
Yes, but if you continue, or if we continually sow the wrong thing, the thing we've been sowing, Christopher, is what's going to what? Spank us and whoop us. God doesn't have to, Tyson. What we've been doing for such a long period of time is going to come in. Yet, will God allow people to come in? Of course. But he says what you've been doing yourself has put you in this position. You see, but the psalmist who had these things written by Jeremiah, these things happened after Jeremiah's time frame. He didn't go to the message of God's word that already set up to tell them why this was happening in their life. But instead of questioning themselves, who did he question? He questioned God on it. We need to learn from that. Amen?
Amen.
Instead of questioning God, we always come to the place, well, let's question where we are.
Yeah.
Let's question where we've journeyed from. And if this is going on in our life, there's a reason why it's going on in our life. And what do we want to do? We want to look back unto the Lord. And ask God, as Hosea would say, hey, you're going to reap some bad stuff because you've been sowing some bad seed. But God says, start sowing seeds of righteousness and you'll start reaping good again. That is, you turn back to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Look in Jeremiah 5. Go to Jeremiah 5. There's other places all through here that this gives us the indication what was going on. But Jeremiah 5. Look in verse 24. They do not say in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain both of the former and the later in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. He says, your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld what from you?
Good things.
Good things from you. Can you see how God is revealing to the group that what they've been doing and why they've been doing it is the consequences of what's going on in their life? Chapter 5 in the first part of it, let's see. Look in verse number 3. Verse number 3. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not been what?
Grieved.
They were not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive what?
Correction.
They have made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to return. Can you see God disciplined them, but they wouldn't receive the discipline.
Amen.
It's kind of like Rusty and I. You knew you was going to get in trouble for it, especially when you got caught, right? But you went ahead on and kept what? Doing it. Rusty, y'all know we like messing with Rusty a little bit. We love Rusty. Rusty, well, who'd you know got you out of trouble then? Your twin, he had him a twin, huh? Jay, you ever do anything that you knew was going to cost you when you done it? Say it again. All the time. You see, God loves and chastens and corrects. But if we don't allow or we continue to push back at his correction, you get to the place where Psalm 89 is. And then who does the psalmist question while they're in the condition they're in? He's not questioning what they've done and why they've lived this away. He's throwing the blame on who?
God.
Now, that ought to be a stone to put in your sling. That you have to be careful. If I have not sought the Lord diligently with all my heart to do what he wanted me to do, and God's brought things in my life because God's had to chasten me because he loves me. And because he loves me, he's going to chasten me because I don't always get it right. But I've learned I don't need to let my mess ups keep what? Messing me up. I need to be thankful for God's loving care over me and his chastening and love in my life, because there come a point, Brittany, that if I keep pushing back at the correction, the Lord says, what's the use correcting him?
Come on.
Now he's going to have to reap what he's been doing for himself.
Amen. Come on.
And that reaping without God involved in it, Pam, is not a pretty thing. Are you with me? Not a pretty thing. So, Josh, you and Kate, you continue to love on these boys and discipline them. And Lucas and your girls and Dalton and your children. But God, who knows how to discipline us better than anybody, who disciplined them and stricken them, but it still didn't grieve them. They just kept what? Headlong with a stiff neck and said, we're going to keep doing what we want to do. And there's sometimes there's nothing you can do about it, right? But you don't want to be in a position, moms and dads, where we mislead them down the wrong road, where we take them in a spirit of rebellion. No, we want to teach them how to drink from God's cup. Amen.
Amen.
Whatever he puts before us, we want to drink it and say, thank you, Lord, for what you're serving us. Because we want to walk with you. But if we're misleading them down the wrong road, that's only going to cause us trouble as well. But even if you lead them rightly, they can still go in ways you never wanted them to go.
Amen.
God's children did it, didn't they?
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. I'm prone to do it. We sang a song this morning. What is that psalm? That song we sang? Come Thou Fount. What does it say? I am prone to wonder. You could feel it, can't you? You're prone to wonder. So what are we asking God to do? What? Rein us in. Amen.
Amen.
What we don't want to do is we don't want to approach these things like my grandkids would. Them jokers are hard to feed. They don't like just about, they picky on what they eat. But if you put something in front of them that they enjoy eating and you just by accident, let me find something here. You by accident mention the one that if they eat all their food, they'll get a little ice cream. You ever done that before? They could have something they love, like if they love a grilled cheese or if they love spaghetti and you mention ice cream, you know what they'll do? They'll drop that, and all they want, Mr. Billy, is that blackberry cobbler and ice cream. Are you with me?
Amen.
They'll drop it. Y'all ever watch them do it, how quick they'll do it? Have you ever been playing with a toy that they'd fight their siblings over, but if you say, I got a treat for you, what will they do? They'll drop it and run to it. God says we've got to be careful of doing that with his word.
Amen.
Psalm 50 warned us to that.
Yeah.
Said something seems better comes along and we just drop his word and put it behind our back and we go after something else. That's how we set ourselves up for what Psalm 89 is all about. That though we know what the truth said, but just knowing the truth will not position you to trust the truth and then walk it out no matter the circumstances.
Amen.
That comes through a growing relationship with the Lord. Amen?
Come on.
And that's what we need in our life. So this little note in closing, we can see the danger and deception of interpreting truth by the circumstances and not interpreting the circumstances by the truth. Did God have an answer for what was going on in Judah?
Yeah.
He sure did. Interpretation is part of life. Discernment is needed to interpret and perceive things rightly. And the only way to have discernment is by walking with the Lord.
Amen.
And hearing from him. Amen?
Amen.
So, do you need him?
Yeah.
Does your pastor need him? Do we all need him? Oh, no doubt about it. And we need him right now more than we ever needed him. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we bless you and we thank you. We ask you to help us with this. Help us today. Look to you. I'm thankful for these psalms. I'm thankful for the heart of these psalmists and how they you use them to help us even recognize ourselves at times when we are looking at the wrong thing, even saying the right thing, but looking to the wrong ones in the wrong situation. So help us. Help us always fix our gaze upon you so that we can know you, trust you, and take your chastening and love as a blessing from your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, always room, always room. Well, it's great to have y'all with us today. It's always good to have family and friends celebrate with us. What a treat. Amen. Thank you for allowing your little ones to be part of our journey and be invested in. And thank you, Christopher, and your family for sharing with us in song this morning. We appreciate that. Amen and amen. All right. Keith Palmer, won't you close us with a word of prayer today and ask God to use us on this mission field as we head out, okay?
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for Brother Nick. Thank you for this word he's brought to us today. Father, just let us, each one of us, remember that we are your hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
Send us out. Be a witness, Lord. Forgive us what we've failed in so many ways.